Hello, my name's Dave Emery. Welcome to the next segment of Specialized Knowledge and Abilities. This is segment 8, and to review very briefly what we've looked at in the previous segments, we have been looking at structural paradigms and possible operational connections that are held in common between Eurofascists and their counterparts in the United States. In particular, the title of the series derives from a tactic that is being employed by Nazis on both sides of the Atlantic of infiltrating the police and military in order to acquire the, quote, specialized knowledge and abilities, unquote, necessary for a formal overthrow of the Democratic state from within. We began by taking a look at the murders of two black people in Fayetteville, North Carolina, allegedly committed by white supremacist members of the 82nd Airborne Division. There is a possibility that the killings were committed to observe the anniversary of the death of Robert J. Matthews, a member of the Order, a militant Nazi splinter group, and also the possibility that the killings may have been committed in order to earn one of the alleged killers an alleged racist spiderweb tattoo, which indicates one has killed for the cause, or which can indicate one is killed for the cause in certain racist circles. After that, we began looking at the Special Forces Underground, apparently based at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, literally a dissident, militant, ultra-right-wing underground within the U.S. Special Forces. There is no hard information indicating that these are Nazis. However, they are explicitly and overtly anti-democratic, and given the formidable abilities of the Green Beret, that should give one pause to think. We've taken a look at the Oklahoma City bombing, the two accused, Timothy McVeigh and Terry Nichols, and their accuser, all members of the same military unit, hence their inclusion in this series. As I've indicated, I suspect there's much more to the Oklahoma City bombing than what we have been told. And without going into detail, I think the political rhetoric on all sides so far has been inadequate. We then began looking at the militia movement, and specifically, we took a look at overlaps between the militia movement and white supremacist elements, including a considerable degree of overlap between some of the elements that have cropped up in connection with Oklahoma City, people such as Andy Strassmeyer, a white supremacist and the son of Helmut Kohl's former chief of staff, and people who were implicated in an alleged conspiracy in 1983 to blow up the federal building in Oklahoma City. A number of the people who crop up in the context of the alleged 83 plot also crop up in the context of the investigation into the 95 bombing of Oklahoma City. People like James Ellison, Robert Millar, and the attorney Kirk Lyons, previously an attorney for Louis Beam, one of those accused in the alleged 83 plot. And Louis Beam, by the way, the author of the leaderless resistance strategy, the idea that Nazi and white supremacist groups should go underground, basically form small autonomous cells united only by ideology in order to prevent infiltration by the authorities and also to make it easier to perform acts of terror. This is very similar to a tactic that has been used by Eurofascists as well in response to government crackdowns in that country. We've taken a look at the polarization and stratification that occurs when governments crack down and begin restricting civil liberties in response to a terrorist campaign, and I think the leaderless resistance strategy of Louis Beam in many ways exemplifies what the results of that polarization and stratification will be like for people within the militias, a mixed bag that I see drifting in the direction of fascism as the conservatives within their midst are either forced out or drop out of their own accord or are otherwise neutralized. We have also been taking a look at the very profound concept about whether the militias are really an enemy of the state or whether, in fact, some elements of them might be pawns of the state. And without going into detail, as I've indicated, I think the militias are themselves a mixed bag. I think the article from High Times magazine of November of 1995 raised a very important question, namely, are the militias really the enemy of the state, or perhaps are they the pawn of the state? Certainly, the inclusion of the provision of deputizing paramilitary right-wingers in the event of the invocation of the martial law contingency plans that were put on the book by Oliver North under the auspices of FEMA, and which still exist, now primarily executed potentially under the auspices of the National Security Council, the inclusion of paramilitary right-wingers in those contingency plans, the overlap between the militia movement and the county rule and wise use movements, anti-environmental movements in the Western United States whose agendas correspond perfectly with the anti-environmental stance of the right wing of the Republican Party, in this point in control of the Republican Party. I think the involvement of those movements with people such as former aides to Reagan Interior Secretary James Watt, a flagrant anti-environmentalist, I think points up the fallacy in viewing the militias as, quote, enemies of the state. They're enemies of some aspects of the state, and again, I think they're a mixed bag themselves, but elements of them give every indication of being an extension of the state. Indeed, I think that the United States, in mid-March of 1996, when I am recording this, is undergoing a phenomenon that is not only similar to what is going on in Europe today, but that is disturbingly similar to the conditions in Weimar Germany that resulted in the overthrow of the Weimar Republic and the establishment of the Hitler dictatorship. Specifically, the militias and the paramilitary right wing are, in my opinion, an element that corresponds to the national Bolsheviks or social revolutionaries of the Weimar period. Now, I'm not talking about Bolsheviks as in communists or social revolutionaries in terms of left-wing ideology, but rather the national Bolsheviks were viewed, can be thought of as the predecessors of and the godfathers for the national socialists or Nazis. Likewise, the social revolutionary wing of the fascist movement, although it used progressive rhetoric or some elements of progressive rhetoric, was aimed at overthrowing the democratic state from the right. And I think that the militias and their relationship to the conservative revolution of Newt Gingrich and company corresponds to the national Bolsheviks in Weimar Germany and their relationship to the Conservativa Revolution. Indeed, I think it is a mistake to see the militias as separate from the body politic as a whole. Rather, they are an extension of, in my opinion, and or the fascist elements within the militias, I should say, are an extension of the conservative revolution of Newt Gingrich. We have pointed out in the past that Newt Gingrich obviously refers to his agenda as the conservative revolution. Jörg Haider in Austria and his Freedom Party talk about their conservative revolution, and indeed Haider called his program the Contract with Austria. I believe that the political situation in Germany and Austria corresponds to that in the United States, and that in turn the political situations in those countries correspond to the situation in Weimar Germany. An individual whose candidacy, although now flagging badly, an individual whose candidacy in many ways exemplified the relationship that I'm talking about is that of Pat Buchanan, the extreme right-wing Republican. There has been a fair amount of publicity recently about Buchanan's campaign's connections with the white supremacists and political extremists. I'm just going to read one article ever so briefly by way of underscoring that for people that might not be familiar with these arguments. Reading now from the San Jose Mercury News of Saturday, February 24th of 1996. This is a New York Times article by Douglas France and Michael Janofsky, J-A-N-O-F-S-K-Y. Headline, Buchanan tries to snub extremists in his corner. Subheaded, three campaign workers have been dismissed. It was an awkward moment for Pat Buchanan as his campaign car pulled up outside a suburban New Orleans hotel last month. Inside was a room jammed with about 200 of his supporters. Among them was David Duke, the Louisiana politician best known as a former leader of the Ku Klux Klan and a neo-Nazi sympathizer. Buchanan and his aides huddled quickly at the curb. The candidate did not want to be photographed with Duke, campaign aides said, but he was reluctant to skip the rally before the state's first in-the-nation Republican caucuses. After receiving assurances that Duke would keep his distance, Buchanan quietly entered the quality hotel and delivered his talk. When Duke tried to put an arm around the candidate near the conclusion, Buchanan brushed past him and aides interceded to keep them apart, said two Buchanan backers who were there. Despite efforts to keep at least a minimal distance from extremists like Duke, Buchanan's campaign has attracted a number of workers and volunteers aligned in the past with Duke and other extremists. It is not clear how much Buchanan and his top aides knew about the backgrounds of the extremists who have joined the campaign as volunteers and staff members. It is also unclear whether those who have left the campaign were dismissed or suspended because the Buchanan staff had learned about their views or because the staff was embarrassed because their views were made public. Besides Duke, the Buchanan campaign has tried to distance itself from some other supporters. Wednesday, Buchanan's campaign director for South Carolina, which holds its primary on March 2nd, dismissed Bill Carter from the campaign's state steering committee after a reporter inquired about Carter's previous connections to Duke. Carter, who managed Duke's 1992 presidential campaign in South Carolina, said Buchanan officials had recruited him and then dismissed him because his association with Duke was on the verge of becoming public. Last week, Larry Pratt, a co-chairman of the Buchanan campaign, took a leave of absence after the disclosure that he had spoken at rallies held by leaders of the white supremacist and militia movements. Pratt, executive director of Gun Owners of America, said in an interview that he did not know the other speakers. He also said he does not harbor anti-Semitic or racist views, although his articles on gun ownership often appear in the Jubilee, a tabloid published in California by members of the Christian Identity Movement, a white supremacist organization. After the Pratt incident, Sandy Lamb, the chairman of the Buchanan campaign in a Florida county, was forced to resign after it was learned she was also an official of the National Association for the Advancement of White People, an organization founded by Duke to attack affirmative action rules. In Louisiana, at least three Buchanan delegates have reported ties to Duke. One of them, Vincent Bruno of Kenner, confirmed he backed the former Klan leader in the 1991 runoff for governor, but later decided Duke, quote, was not the proper messenger, unquote. For his part, Buchanan has said he disavows the politics of the far right, just as he dismisses the complaints of some Republican leaders who argue that his brand of angry conservatism is driving the party too far to the right for any Republican to beat President Clinton. And the specific relationship between the militias, that discussed the relationship between the Buchanan campaign and people with white supremacist leanings. The enthusiastic backing of the Buchanan candidacy by the militias was the subject of an article in the Los Angeles Times of Thursday, February 22nd of 1996. This is an article by Richard A. Serrano of the L.A. Times that state-lined Plano, Texas, and headlined, Militias See Buchanan as Their Kind of Candidate, subtitled, The groups back him on almost every issue, but their support could be a double-edged sword. And of the correspondence between the militias and the Buchanan candidacy, the author Richard Serrano quotes a former leader a leader of the militia of Montana and his support for Buchanan. Quote, Pat's general platform is absolutely verbatim with those things that we've been talking about, unquote, said Bob Fletcher, a former Montana militia leader who is preparing to set up a radio and television program in West Los Angeles. In particular, militia members say they admire Buchanan for his opposition to abortion and all forms of gun control, his denunciations of racial quotas, note that, and federal mandates, and his advocacy of stopping illegal immigration even if it means closing the borders. Above all, they detest the New World Order, the umbrella term that members of the radical right and Buchanan used to refer to international organizations from the United Nations to the World Trade Organization. Quote, Everything he says, it looks like I wrote it for his platform, unquote, said Fletcher. And again, Fletcher, apparently formerly a leader of the militia of Montana, and this is not to speak against Mr. Fletcher personally. I don't know anything about him. He might be a fine and honorable man. I would note, however, that the militia of Montana was championing Richard Swain Snell in their March 1995 newsletter. That's something which is not real great in light of the fact that Richard Wayne Snell was a white supremacist cop killer. I would note, however, that I think Bob Fletcher in this article, assuming he was quoted correctly, has, I think, underscored in rather concise fashion the degree of overlap between the militia agenda and that of Pat Buchanan. Again, I think that the relationship between the militias and the conservative revolution of Newt Gingrich is very similar to the relationship between the national Bolsheviks in Weimar Germany and the Conservativa Revolution in Weimar Germany, and I believe that a similar relationship between Nazis and white supremacists in Europe and the reactionary parties in places like Germany and Austria, I believe that relationship is of a similar nature. We're going to turn now to a discussion of not only the Conservativa Revolution in Weimar Germany, but the similarity between the co-opting of Nazi and white supremacist agendas by far right-wing parties in Germany and Austria. And we're going to take a look at a comparison between the political agendas of Nazis in Europe and their counterparts, or many of the right-wing extremists in this country as well, including fascist elements within the militias. By the way, I would note that we don't hear a lot of discussion concerning the role of corporations in promoting illegal immigration. This program, of course, originates in California, and among the most notorious violators of our immigration laws are some of the major agribusinesses in California, which actively seek to bring illegal immigrants into the United States because they can get away with charging them, with paying them lower wages because of the lower wages, because of the fear that on the behalf of illegal immigrants that they could be turned over to the INS. It, in effect, turns them into slaves. Of the co-option of Nazi agendas by far-right wing parties, of the similarity between the relationship between Nazis and the far-right wing parties, with the relationship between the National Bolsheviks and National Socialists in Weimar Germany and the Conservative Revolution, by way of illustrating that, we're going to turn to a very important recent book. The book is entitled The New Right, subtitled Violent Extremism in Unified Germany and Beyond. That book was authored by Michael Schmidt. It was published in hardcover by Pantheon Books in New York City and copyrighted 1993. The Franz Schoenhuber spoken about here is the head of the Republikaner Party, or Republican Party. Schoenhuber is a former sergeant in the Waffen-SS, and note some of the similarities here. I'm not saying they're identical, but note some of the similarities here between the agendas of some of the explicitly Nazi parties in Europe and the far-right wing parties, and note also the similarity between some of their ideological tenets and the ideological tenets of the right wing of the Republican Party and some of the harsher elements within the militia movement. Again, Franz Schoenhuber here, the head of the Republikaner Party and a former sergeant in the Waffen-SS. Michael Schmidt writes as follows in The New Reich. Franz Schoenhuber can pat himself on the back. In just 2 years, he has radically changed the image of his party. With their triumphs in Baden-Württemberg and Berlin, they have shed the image of beery Bavarians and Lederhosen. Intellectuals in jackets and ties dominate their June 1992 party convention in Deggensdorf. Foreigners out, unquote, has been replaced by an elegant plea for, quote, cultural identity, unquote. After all, they want to be fit for mainstream society and for coalitions. Meanwhile, of course, their newly founded youth organization urges a, quote, total rejection of a multicultural society, the, quote, protection of the purity of the German language, unquote, and the, quote, return of the Eastern territories, unquote. It also wants to eliminate school trips to, quote, so-called memorials, unquote, since this, quote, mass overcoming of the past, unquote, is a, quote, crime against the souls of school children. And again, note the reaction against multiculturalism in right-wing and fascist European politics. One sees a similar trend in the United States. Continuing, after Rostock, that refers to a fatal attack on immigrants in Rostock. After Rostock, the Republicans win a solid 11.3% in the by-election for the Passau City Council, and Franz Schoenhuber announces a, quote, storm of new members, unquote, for his party, which at the time includes around 23,000 members. Time is on our side, he adds. Time is also working for the Deutsche Volksunion, or DVU. In September of 1991, the party, which was founded in 1971 by Gerhard Fry, wins 6.1% in the Bremen state elections and reaches 10% in Bremerhaven, much better than their showing in the 1987 elections. The DVU now has around 26,000 members and for the first time is able to form an official faction in a German state parliament. Half a year later, the party enters the Schleswig-Holstein parliament with 6.3% of the vote and celebrates this, quote, victory for the righteous cause of the German people, unquote. In particular, the DVU introduces motions for, quote, required community service for foreigners granted asylum, unquote, for, quote, purifying school books of anti-German dirt and trash, unquote, and for providing schools with maps that portray, quote, Germany in its rightful borders, unquote, that is, including East Prussia, Pomerania, and Silesia. Those are parts of other countries at the moment. That's my interjection, of course. Continuing, to this, Karl Otto Meyer, a deputy representing the Danish minority, issued a furious response. We will never again let ourselves be placed in a situation in which people like you and your kind can again put nooses around our necks. We will take action first, unquote. With its 1.15 million marks in matching funds, the party finances its headquarters in Munich, as well as its chairman's campaign trips to organize new local committees, especially in the new states. 2 months before the Rostock program, Fry and the DVU turned up in that city to agitate against the, quote, flood of refugees, unquote, and the, quote, gypsy plague, unquote. And again, I think there are echoes there with some of the agendas not only of the right-wing of the Republican Party, but the militias as well. Continuing. DVU members mixed in with the Lichtenhagen Citizens Initiative, which at the end of August urged the people, quote, to take the asylum problem into your own hands, unquote. DVU members took care of the logistics for the rally that later developed into the program, or the pogrom, excuse me. Once the groundwork is properly laid, the road from agitation to action is short, indeed. And the next segment of the New Reich is specifically discusses the New Right or Neue Rechte ideology and compares this with the Konservative Revolution. And again, I think the relationship between these elements in Germany corresponds quite closely to a relationship between the right wing of the Republican Party, currently in control of that party, and more extreme elements such as the harsher elements of the militia movements. The so-called Neue Rechte, or New Right ideology, which has penetrated nearly all extreme right parties and many conservative circles, is based on the Weimar-era Conservative Revolution, a group of young conservatives, nationalist revolutionaries, and racists who are considered to have helped pave the way for National Socialism. Their mentor, the constitutional lawyer Carl Schmitt, had fought the Young Republic's parliamentary democracy from the start, urging an authoritarian state ruled by an elite. A Nazi Party member and a protege of Hermann Göring, Schmitt also published the influential Deutsche Juristenzeitung, or German Jurists newspaper, in which he praised the Nuremberg race laws. The state, he said, had finally become, quote, a means of national power and unity, unquote. Schmitt, who died in 1985, is enjoying a renaissance in Germany and beyond. His writings are also being reprinted and discussed in Italy and France. Like Schmitt and his followers, the New Rightists consider liberalism the arch-enemy. Freedom through order, unquote, is their motto. That is, an authoritarian state in which the individual must submit to the popular will. Nation, people, family, and order are the pillars of this ideology. Accordingly, the New Rightists support nationalist liberation movements and, quote, ethno-pluralism, unquote, meaning isolated peoples living side by side. As part of their anti-liberalism, they fight against what they term the, quote, vodka-cola culture, unquote, and Western materialism, unquote. Their main organ is Junge Freiheit, or Young Freedom, an extreme rightist journal written primarily by students. The monthly magazine increased its circulation from an initial 400 to 35,000 within 4 years, and plans to publish weekly as of January of 1994. Its growth was greatly aided by the prominence of its guest authors, a mixture of CDU and CSU politicians, REP party officials, conservative professors, and more controversial figures such as David Irving. By the way, I would interject that David Irving has been subpoenaed by Stephen Jones, Timothy McVeigh's defense counsel, to testify about possible international Nazi conspiracy with regard to Oklahoma City. Continuing. This, quote, mix, unquote, gives the paper a reputation that contributes to easing of the mutual anxiety between conservatives, nationalists, and nationalist revolutionaries. As part of its anti-liberalism, Junge Freiheit fights for what it considers Germany's complete sovereignty, including its, quote, spiritual liberation, unquote. To that end, the journal has a special page entitled Contemporary History, for which Alfred Schickel is responsible. Schickel, S-C-H-I-C-K-E-L, is the head of the Research Institute for Contemporary History in Ingolstadt and is an enthusiastic historical revisionist. According to a tribute from the Sudeten German Ex-Ballet Association, he has succeeded in saving, quote, historiography from the ghetto of the victors' histories, unquote. In his pages in Junge Freiheit, quote, the Auschwitz lie, unquote, is propagated and Germany's invasion of the Soviet Union is presented as an act of self-defense. This man, who also writes for a variety of other extreme right magazines, was recently awarded the Distinguished Service Medal of the Federal Republic of Germany for his work against, quote, ignorance, prejudice, and disinformation, unquote. That no one thought to criticize this travesty is in itself an eloquent expression of the state of the nation in Germany today. And skipping down, speaking of the DVU and the REP, actually, this is the NPD, a Nazi party. Their party organ, Deutsche Rundschau, or German Panorama, celebrated Rostock, again, that was a fatal attack on foreigners, as the expression of, quote, our people's natural, healthy impulses, unquote. No state and no people can endure such immigration for long, unquote. And again, note similar rhetoric and similar views held by the right wing of the Republican Party, the Newt Gingrich faction, and people associated with Pat Buchanan, and also elements of the militia movement. Quote, again, still quoting from Deutsche Rundschau, our activities must encourage the people themselves to resist the unpopular establishment, unquote. No sooner said than done. In the Black Forest town of Fuligen-Schwenningen, League members called for the formation of a citizens' militia, unquote. Note that, I would interject. And in July of 1992, they conferred with officials of the Deutsche Alternative in the Brandenburg town of Groß-Gaglau about, quote, concerted action in the future, unquote. In October, they recruited for a, quote, German martial sports initiative in Solingen and organized a demonstration in Eberswalde, quote, against left-wing parasites, unquote, together with the militant Nationalistische Front, or NF. Quote, we make foreigners who live here as uncomfortable as possible, unquote, says Jürgen Rieger, a Hamburg lawyer and backer of numerous right-wing organizations, in describing NF's guiding principle at their national convention in the Hessian town of Niederrolle in April of 1991. In its 90-point plan for foreigner repatriation, unquote, NF urges, quote, the immediate deportation of foreign criminals, unquote, and quote, integration tax of 50,000 marks per year for every employed foreigner, unquote, a restriction of public housing, quote, to Germans only, unquote, and the secession of family and education allowances to foreigners. Well, again, although I'm not suggesting the political agendas are identical, I think such things as the call for a citizens' militia, the anti-foreigner sentiment, the scapegoating of foreigners, and I certainly do not hold a brief for illegal immigration, but nonetheless, immigrants, legal and otherwise, are not the people responsible for this country's problems. People in positions of power are those responsible. I think the comparison between the political agendas of the conservative revolution in Europe, places like Germany and Austria, the political agenda of the conservative revolution of Newt Gingrich, and the political ideology and agendas of Nazi and fascist elements both in the United States and in Europe is very similar. And again, I think the militia movement, or the harsher elements thereof, correspond rather closely to the National Bolsheviks in Weimar Germany, and in turn they can be seen as operating within a continuum with the right wing of the Republican Party and the conservative revolution of Newt Gingrich, much as the National Bolsheviks operated as the most extreme element of the Conservative Revolution in Weimar Germany. In short, déjà vu all over again. That concludes this particular segment of Specialized Knowledge and Abilities. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.